TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Joseph takes the long rebound. Thaddeus Young.
Boom, baby! Here we go, Pacers!
An onslaught of three-point field goals, and the Pacers lead 61-57.
Myron Metcalf, Myron on Hoops here. Manny Fresh Hill. I'm not going to waste any time. I'm done. I quit.
You quit?
I quit. I'm done. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, wait a minute.
I don't care what anybody says.
No, I don't care.
I quit.
You're quitting already?
I have tried everything to stay patient. On the Andrew Wiggins bandwagon, I drove it. I had air in the tires. I maintained it. I was in charge of it.
You were making the oil changes.
Everything, man. I have been the guy for the last couple of years to say, everybody be patient. That's been me. And part of it is, Manny, he's still a young dude. He's still a younger guy. And for me, you know, as a guy who covers college basketball for ESPN, I know a lot of these guys. I've met a lot of these guys. I shouldn't say I know them. I don't have, like, relationships with them, great relationships with them. But I know a lot of these guys from the time they were in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, I met Tyus Jones when he was a seventh grader. Andrew Wiggins, I was covering his high school tournaments and AAU games. Carl Towns, you know. So you see how young they are. And I think that makes it easier to say, give them time. Because I know how. I know that it wasn't that long ago that Andrew Wiggins was playing for Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, man, I just quit. I can't do it anymore.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
I've tried everything, Manny.
Welcome to my side of everything.
I've tried everything.
It's gotten to a point with me where I don't even, like, on Raised by Wolves, I've told this to Danny and Dane and Rami. I'm done talking about them at this point. Now, obviously, I'm using hyperbole there. I'm obviously going to continue to talk about him, but it's just, it has become very, very exhausting watching games like last night.
Yeah.
It's exhausting to see someone make this much money and have all of this potential, and you're not getting anything out of him. There's no contribution to winning when he steps on the floor. Very rarely, maybe a handful of times a year, we get that. But overall, it's a lot more of what we saw last night than good.
Bro, Bogdanovich torched him.
Yeah.
Bogdanovich.
The same backdoor cut, man.
Bogdanovich looks like every Bond villain for the last five Bond films. If you put him in a room with Andrew Wiggins and you said, I want to see what you can do athletically, if you put them both through a combine, Manny, Andrew Wiggins would destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am watching a game last night, and I'm watching Bogdanovich just be smarter. I'm watching him on the backdoor cuts. I'm watching him come off ball screens, and Wiggins not knowing how to fight to get underneath the screen. Mm-hmm. Elementary stuff that my girls are doing on their team that plays every Saturday. Like, this is a guy, I'm at the point, and here's why I quit. It's not the effort thing, because you're not going to change him. Like, this is a dude who has been playing this way since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. I know Canadian folks, I don't know all Canadians, ain't but nine of them, but I know a bunch of Canadians who watched him when he was young. This is who he is. It's not athleticism. You want the guy to run and jump, he can do that as well as anybody.
He can jump out of a gym as well as anybody.
The knowledge of the game. Because what Bogdanovich proved is that you don't have to be that great athlete if you know where to be.
Bogdanovich can play, man.
Bogdanovich is legit.
And he's been good for a few years now.
But dog.
He can ball.
Dude, imagine him in Andrew Wiggins' body. Like, so here's the thing. This is a guy who has a sliver of the athleticism that Andrew Wiggins is blessed with. But he just knows where to be. There was a play down the stretch where it's clear that the Pacers are saying, okay, the other four guys on the floor, Anthony Tolliver, Gibson, I think Rose was out there, and Wiggins. You all beat us. You all win this game. We're going to send three guys at Towns when he drives. And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching Wiggins as Towns is clearly trapped. He's just standing there. He doesn't know where to be.
He's not
that
engaged.
Is the issue.
Not engaged.
That is the issue.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's not engaged, because that, I almost think that's secondary to the idea of, I don't know that he knows how to play the game. Like, that to me is the bigger issue. Is this is a guy who, yes, the effort we've questioned, but he's been such a great raw athlete for the duration of his career. And he made $150 million just being a great raw athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're watching a guy who is showing no desire to learn the nuance of basketball. Bro, Andrew Wiggins, you're rich. Congrats. You're 20. How old is he? 20?
I think he turns
5, 6, 7, something like
he
that.
He might have already just, I think his birthday's in February or January, and you think he just turned 24.
Let's say this guy's 24, whatever he is. Yeah. He's rich. Rich for life. You're never going to have to worry about money. And guess what? Congrats to him for that.
Yeah, he turned 24 on February 23rd.
Just turned 24.
Yep.
I sincerely mean that. You got your money. You can take care of your family, pay your bills. Congrats to all that. But I want to see a guy who cares about his legacy, because everybody's rich in your sport, homie. A bunch of guys got a bunch of money and cars and mansions. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be playing for something more, my man. Where's your concern for your legacy?
How
you will be viewed down the line. That's what I need to see. I watched a dude named Josh Okogie, who makes what? What is he making now as a 20th pick? $2 million?
Probably $2.5 million
after taxes. He's probably making 1.2 or something like that. And I'm watching that guy in the fourth quarter chase steals, trying to make plays, trying to do things to affect the game, Manny.
And that's a kid that, while he has some good athleticism and he's got some skill, he does not have nearly the physical tools that Andrew Wiggins has.
I quit!
And he's given 150% effort. And he's out there, and Okogie's out there making rookie mistakes. And you know, if you watch the Wolves broadcast, you'll hear Jim Peterson point out different things that he's doing wrong.
Yes.
But you give him a pass because, number one, he's a rookie, but you also give him a pass because you appreciate the effort and the energy that he's
cares.
Playing with on night in and night
he
out.
He cares.
And you get the sense that he wants to be a really,
Josh
really good
Okogie
player.
Seems like the kind of dude who, come June, you're going to have to call him up and say, Josh, don't go down to the playground in your neighborhood and challenge the kids out there. Don't go to LA Fitness or Lifetime Fitness and try to get in a pickup run just because you're desperate to play. Josh seems like that kind of dude.
That's that you have to warn handle, him. Right? Call me nonstop.
Listen. That's the kind of dude you got to warn to protect him from himself. I love that. Mm-hmm. On the Andrew Wiggins situation, I quit. I'm done. What's the date today? March 1st, 2019?
March 1st, 2019.
I quit. And I quit because it's not even effort. It's if you don't care about your legacy in this sport, which is all that fans really want, it ain't the money. You know, people get caught up in the money. He's making $150 million. Guess what? You make a lot of money when you're in the position that we thought he was in. I want to see a guy who is fighting like mad to be great. That's why we love Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
That's why we love Karl Towns. These guys are fighting to be great every night, man. They're
all
going
the
to
great
places.
Players that we've seen in this league over the years, whether it's
dude,
Kobe, Michael Jordan,
want to be
LeBron
great.
James. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Money in the bank. They're not fighting for money. They got it. Yep. You won the money element, right, Manny?
Mm-hmm.
It's the how much do you care about the greatness?
Desire, the desire to be great.
Do you want to be great or not? I'm watching a guy up in Canada in Toronto named Fred VanVleet, who I think is hurt now. I saw Fred. I covered his tournament run at Wichita State when they went to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a freshman, and he was a no-star kid. Kid out of Illinois, nobody heard of.
It was what, 2013?
2013, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
This guy just had a poise and a belief. We didn't draft you. That's okay. Just let me in your training camp and I'll earn a spot. That's exactly what he did. Then the Raptors come back and say, you're so good, we're going to rip up that deal we had with you earlier, and we're going to pay you about $10 million a year. Like, I want to see that. I want to see somebody who cares that much, because that's what fans are asking for, Andrew Wiggins. This is not about you being criticized. This is not about people coming down on you because you make $150 million. Homie, there are a whole lot of rich people in this city. There are a whole lot of folks who've got mansions and money.
And you know, and you understand, too, why Jimmy Butler was causing a stir, whether it was right or wrong. And I was on the side of, I don't believe that Jimmy handled that whole situation.
He didn't handle it well.
He did not handle it well at all. But
he was frustrated.
On the other side of the coin, though, you also understand why that, you know, whether it was right or wrong, you understand why he handled that situation that way, because he was looking at Andrew Wiggins, and to a lesser degree, he was looking at Karl Anthony Towns and saying, these guys have got to put in the work and the effort to be great. Now, Cat has done that. Cat's got room to grow.
Yeah, but Cat is.
But Cat is, Cat especially lately, he's playing on a whole other level.
He's a top 15 player, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's aiming for top five. Manny, it's just simple for me. And if you have a perspective on this, 651-646-8255. 651-646-8255. We're talking about Andrew Wiggins because, I mean, I don't really have anything else to add. I quit. I don't know. I said that earlier. I quit.
I quit,
Manny.
I challenge any listener that's
I'm done.
Thinking that we're wrong right now to call in at 651-646-8255.
I'm gonna tell you a metaphor. I don't know much, okay? I don't have many talents, Manny. And I learned that at a pretty early age. When I was in a second grade art class, they were sending artwork overseas to our sister school in Japan. I couldn't get my art on the walls, Manny. I knew I wasn't going to be an artist pretty early. I know my skills and gifts and abilities. And I think I've come up with the perfect metaphor. Right now, the Timberwolves are a team with a 12-bedroom mansion and 10 bathrooms and an 8-car garage on Karl Anthony Towns Boulevard. It's a beautiful place. When you drive by, you got to slow down. It's the best-looking house on the block, okay? But a couple years ago, somebody talked them, Manny, into buying a timeshare in Florida. Put down this money on this expensive timeshare. Trust us. It'll pay for itself. And guess what? If you don't want it one day, it'll be easy to sell. And then you go out and take a look at the timeshare, and it's not really on the beach. It's kind of inland a little bit, right? It's not really walking distance to all the stores and the fancy shops. It's not really that close to the golf course, which is what Uncle Lou told you when you bought it. But you are pouring money into that timeshare and not getting anything back. And you got this beautiful mansion on Karl Anthony Towns Boulevard and the timeshare on Andrew Wiggins Way in Florida, and that's your problem. You're pouring all of this money into that little timeshare instead of focusing on trying to fill that 8-car garage with the pieces to help Karl Anthony Towns in the mansion that he is. That's their problem. We have a caller because I quit. Do you quit, caller? Who is this?
Sadiq in Minneapolis.
Sadiq, I quit. What about you?
I feel the same way, you know, and it's interesting because last night was kind of it for me, you know, and not to take anything away from Bogdanovich, but to your point of the physical tools and the athleticism and just the raw talent that he has. But, you know, I'm starting to believe it doesn't matter if it's Thibodeau, if it's Saunders, if it's any of these college guys coming up in the ranks, if they don't move forward. So I don't know if anybody can get through to this guy. I just don't know if he has it.
Thanks for the call, Sadiq.
He's right. Does he have it? He has.
Well, that's been my thing for months now.
I quit, Byron, man. I don't even care. Go.
Especially for me, like I've been off the Andrew Wiggins train since last year.
Yeah, basically. I just got off since it.
Towards the end of last year when Butler got hurt last year, and we thought this was an opportunity for Wiggins to step up and pick up some of the slack, and he didn't do it. That was it for me last year. And so now you've got this year, and the problem is, and I've been saying this for months now, almost every option has been exhausted now.
They're out of options. Yeah, it's
system changes, Myron. Different teammates, coaching changes. You know, environment, more playing time. Give them
ain't gonna change nothing.
Give them the ball and let them, let them initiate the offense. Nothing. Let them play off the ball. Let them shoot more threes.
Nothing.
None of that is. None of it has made a difference.
Nope.
None of it. And now the thing is. Now we're, and I was going back and forth with people on Twitter about this the other night after the Atlanta game that they kicked away in overtime. Is, well, can you move him to the bench? I've thought about that too, but it's like let's be real here though. Is that really going to make a difference?
No, that ain't it.
Is that going to make him care more? Enhance his desire to
None
be a
of
great
that.
Player? No.
None of that.
No.
But the idea that you've got to do all those things.
Right.
All these ways.
That's the thing.
Is proof.
Yeah.
You can even
we've
dance.
We've got to the point where we're thinking about having to have a player on a max
coming
contract
off the bench.
You
can either dance when the music plays or you can. It ain't that complicated. You can dance or you can't. All of these things are meant to go, well, maybe it's something else. No, it's him. It's him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in this game a long time, and you have too, Manny. And I have seen lesser athletes who cared more about greatness who became better players than what we're seeing from Andrew Wiggins. Fred Hoiberg, who got a lot out of his career, played a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's coaching. 4 hours. Before every single game he played with the Indiana Pacers, he would go through this 45-minute shooting routine with Reggie Miller. It was very precise, extremely precise,
mm-hmm.
where they're throwing the ball off the walls. I mean, they're hitting the next number of threes. Every single game, 4 hours before game time, this is what Hoiberg is doing. Drew Brees only accepts footballs from his game managers, like with the seams facing a certain way. He's got these crazy routines and these different things he does. These guys have found that consistency, right, can lead to you being the best version of yourself. I'm not trying to sound like a TED Talk here. But there are people who have so much less than what Andrew Wiggins has.
Mm-hmm.
And have decided that if I put in the consistent effort and the energy, that I can get the best out of myself. And nothing about Andrew Wiggins suggests that he's willing to do that. And I know he's young, which is why I've held off on the criticism.
But here's the thing with the young part. And you're right. He is young. He's 24.
He's not young in NBA years.
No, because he's in his fifth year
he's
in the NBA.
He's not young, 100%.
He's in his fifth year in the NBA.
He's not young in NBA years. And I got to stop saying he's young, but that was kind of my excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But Manny, this is a guy who is not convinced anybody that he is dialed into being the best version of himself possible. And he's playing next to a guy in Karl Towns who looks like he wants to rip the rim off the foundation every time he comes up the court. Well, who looks like he's daring the world to say, can you guard Karl Anthony Towns? Nope. And I'm going to show you how. That effort and that desire, that's that Mamba stuff, man. Giannis started to find that switch last year. That's a dominant Karl Towns who's now finding out, wait a minute, I'm that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody up across the court from me who can stop me.
And the other thing, too, is when people are still, and I understand that you're off of this train now, but when people are looking at Andrew Wiggins and saying, well, he's 24, he's still young, he's got time. Okay, number one, he's been in the league for 5 years now. This is his fifth year in the league. And when you look at other players that people envision Andrew Wiggins turning into.
Oh, yeah, year five
the
ain't
Kobe's,
this.
The Tracy,
year five
the Brady's,
ain't this, no.
Like, Kevin Durant, you know what Kevin Durant was doing in year five
of
the NBA?
Yeah, yeah.
He was playing in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Tracy McGrady, when he was 23, 24 years old, was a scoring champion in the league.
Yeah. Year five is not.
Like,
at
year five, man, this is who he is. This is who he is.
Yeah. And it took me till now to realize it. You've been right the whole time. It took me until now to understand and accept that that's what we're dealing with. Is that we're dealing with a guy?
Well, you know what though,
who's never going to change, man.
You know what though, it took me till last year, up until about halfway through last season, I was still holding out hope for this.
But if I thought he cared about being great, I could still stay on the bandwagon. Like, if I thought there was a guy out there who was doing everything in his power, I'm watching again, Josh Okogie. I'll keep bringing him up. Josh Okogie is just playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just out there playing. He's trying to make plays.
And he's out there, and he's making dumb rookie mistakes once in a while, but he's playing.
He's a guy who, wait until he learns the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait until he understands the full nuance of the game. This is a guy who's just saying, I don't know everything that I'm supposed to do right now, but I'm going to do something. Andrew Wiggins strikes me as a guy who says, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. But there's no second part. Well, I'm just going to do something. Nah, homie, I'm gonna get my $150 million and be good with that. Be good with that. I'm proud of him, honestly, legitimately. 24 years old, $150 million, legitimately. I love it when I see any young man have the ability to take care of themselves, their families. I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes you different? What makes all these guys different? Kobe had that. MJ had. These guys all had all the money in the world.
LeBron.
But they were still crazy about winning. They got the money. And it didn't change their desire. It didn't change who they were as players, man.
Kevin Garnett got that first big contract he got with the Wolves was like it set records.
Yes.
And everybody was talking about this insane amount of money that this young kid in his early 20s is getting.
Yeah.
But it didn't change the player that Kevin Garnett
was. Or his desire.
It did not change his desire to be an all-time great player.
And we don't even know what Wiggins where the desire started from. So like we saw a young Kevin Garnett. Yeah. We saw a young Kevin Garnett and it was clear that he was dialed in. We don't even know where the starting point was with Wiggins. Because from day one, we've assumed he's just been a guy who has not been dialed in. I don't know how much he cares about being great. And it ain't the money for me. Money's all relative. In his market, guys make a ton of money
mm-hmm.
with where he was. It's all relative. The money's not the problem. I don't think the money's the problem for a lot of fans. It's the money not matching the intent and the desire. Hey, man, here's your money. But we want to see you doing what Carl Anthony Towns is doing after he got his money. Carl Towns got his money, and Carl Towns is going to make a lot more money. Ask Carl Towns after yesterday's game, hey, Carl, do you feel good having millions of dollars in the bank knowing that your team is on the verge of missing the playoffs again? What do you think Carl Towns is going to say? Hey, Carl, you got a mansion. You think he's cool with that? No, Carl Towns is somewhere just upset about what happened last night. Probably didn't sleep.
And you can see it.
40 points.
You can see it on the floor.
Yo, 40 points. Probably didn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
All these luxury cars he's got back here in Minnesota, man, probably didn't sleep last night. Because that's just how much he cares.
Now, I do think he needs to stop arguing with officials.
Well, that's a whole nother.
I love Cap, but he's got to stop doing that.
You can't let him get tossed.
Got technical last night.
Dude, it's hard to see that and then watch Wiggins.
Yeah.
Who's just not doing some of the simple things you have to do when you're that person.
And here's the other thing, too, and I know we got a break here and get to Marcus Fuller, but the other part is, and we talked about this, me and Dane and Danny, we talked about this on Raised by Wolves a couple of weeks back, about how what's happening now, too, is, and maybe not so much now because Cat's been to a couple All-Star games now, and he's, especially the last handful of games, he's just been dominating. He's been fantastic. But what's been happening is, Cat and Wiggins, because they're teammates and because they're both sort of young players around the same age and everything, and both number one overall picks, they're being lumped together.
Yes,
by the national pundits and
which they shouldn't be.
No, they shouldn't be at all. And so what's happening is people are looking at Andrew Wiggins and saying, "Kid, he's got all this money, all this physical talent, but just questioning his desire to be great and just." You know, questioning, you know, is he engaged and the effort and all of that stuff? And they're kind of lumping Carl Anthony Towns into that same conversation. And those two guys, albeit the same age and both number one overall picks, could not be any more different.
No.
Between those two guys. And that's the main issue that I have right now with this whole situation.
Man, I know guys who didn't go home, you know, to work on their games, didn't see their families, you know, blocked a lot of people out of their lives just to get better. Did a lot of things, sacrificed a lot of things just to get better. I just want to see some of that from Andrew Wiggins. We'll be back after this.
Score North Live with Matthew Collar. Live afternoons 2 to 4. Collar loves sports. He knows stuff. Score North Live with Matthew Collar. With a cast of pals who know sports, breaking down the hot sports topics of the day. Sports talk and your thoughts. And live guests. Score North Live with Matthew Collar. Live afternoons 2 to 4. Score North. ScoreNorth.com. You aren't into Minnesota sports? Talk to the Mitten. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf, Manny Hill, Myron on Hoops. We got a special guest in the building. The one, the only, Marcus Fuller. Of the Star Tribune. Marcus, you on the ground yet from Northwestern? Are you at the airport or what?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here in the snow. I'm loving it, man. You know, I never thought I'd say that I'd rather live in Hawaii than in Minnesota, but, you know, today's the day.
Hey, bro, I went to Hawaii for the first time in November for the Maui Invite. My goodness, I loved it, man. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, they do a great job with that tournament and the location. And, you know, I'm from Hawaii, as many people might not know, but you do. But I hadn't been to Maui like that since, you know, as an adult. So yeah. It was kind of a pretty cool experience for me to get to know the city and Lahaina. And, oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. I went there with the Gophers a few years ago.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. So Marcus Fuller covers the Gophers. Is coming back from Northwestern. Pretty dominant win. I mean, Marcus, they were in no position to lose that game. I mean, if they lose that game, it would have been over, right, in terms of their bubble chances?
Yeah, I mean, you know how we say it, you know, relatively or realistically, yeah. Their chances would have been, you know, minuscule. But I think with the last two games, it was always about the last two games, you know.
Yeah.
Quadrant one games, Purdue at home and Maryland on the road. It's always about the last two games. Can you win, you know, two of those, one of those, to boost your resume? And to me, they had no chance at winning those games, any one of them, if they didn't have any confidence with a win versus Northwestern. And also, I think if they lose to Northwestern, kind of like what you see with Washington, losing to Cal, you know, that's a really bad loss. It's the first bad loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, Washington was safely in. Minnesota was right on the bubble, if not, you know, barely out. So they couldn't afford a loss like that. I mean, you would have dropped them a couple spots back. So I think that confidence-wise, they're in a good position to give Purdue a game at home. But, you know, you're going to have to see another performance like Amir Coffey had to give them a chance.
Speaking of Amir Coffey, I mean, 32 last night against Northwestern, 18 in the win over Indiana a couple weeks ago. You know, this is a guy, it seems like when he plays well, scores, you know, 18, 19, 20 points, they win. And when he scores 8 like he did against Rutgers or 6 like he did against Michigan, things go south. I mean, does he realize his role? And do you think he's equipped going into these last two huge games to give us another effort like the one he gave us last night?
He's aggressive, you know, even in the games you mentioned, like the Rutgers game, he took a lot of shots. He just didn't take a lot of good shots.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Patino kind of, you know, put in his ear going into Northwestern is like, hey, Mary, you're a leading scorer. You're being a lot more aggressive this year. You know, he was averaging close to 15 a game going in, but you got to take better shots. I mean, you can't just be jacking up three-pointers, contested shots, jumpers. When he went to the basket a lot, mainly in the Michigan game, was the one I think that he really, really was disappointing in the fact that they really needed that game as a quad one win. He was taking contested layups and not really looking to finish. I mean, he was looking to get fouled, and he just was not getting called, and he let that frustrate him. And I think, you know, in this game, you saw he was going to the basket with an intent to score and not get fouled necessarily. And a lot of times, you know, the refs, you know, just held the whistle, and he scored. I mean, you know, so I think when he goes to the basket looking to score and not necessarily to get called, You know, I think he's just a much better offensive player, and he's been more aggressive this year. It's efficiency was the big thing with him in the games before Northwestern.
Marcus, I know this team has been kind of up against it without, you know, really a true point guard presence on the roster. I mean, we've seen Amir sort of have to take on that role. Dupree McBrayer's had to kind of initiate the offense at times. And, you know, Isaiah Washington, I mean, it's just been overall, while he's shown flashes of being very good.
Is he still on the team? I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to say that.
But, I mean, you know, we see flashes from Isaiah Washington, but we just haven't seen him be able to really put it together as a lead guard. So how can Richard Pitino in these last couple of games now get this offense, not just with Amir Coffey, but other guys to get them going, that, you know, Gabe Kauschers and guys like that, to get them going on a more consistent basis?
Yeah, I think they've, unfortunately, you know, it's fun to watch Jelly get going, but mainly that was a non-conference play. Well, once he's played in tougher competition, we really haven't seen much from him. Even when he's getting the opportunity, he just doesn't really show it. I mean, I hate to just keep, you know, going on him, but, you know, Pitino said in the Rutgers game, you know, he called him to go in, and he didn't even have his jersey. I mean, he was tucking his jersey in when they inbounded the ball, and they shot a three and hit a three in the corner. You know, like, and he took him right out. He's like, dude, you got to be ready. I mean, that's one thing about their bench. They don't use their bench very much, but when you get a chance, that you got to be ready. And so he was pretty upset about that. But you go back to the point guard situation, I think they build pretty much on trying to figure out one guy to have that role. The offense really works when they're moving the ball. And, you know, I think the point guard is the one that settles the offense down, you know, if they're turning over the ball, if the opposing team is making a run, kind of settles the offense down and making sure everybody gets an opportunity. And I think sometimes, you know, Amir, whether it's Amir or Dupree, they kind of get in their head, like they got to take the, you know, offense over on their own and go one-on-one, and they don't really move the ball. And I think that really hurts the offense. You know, you got a guy like Jordan inside, you got Jordan Murphy, and you got a guy like Daniel Turu inside. You really got to go through them when you're not hitting your jumpers. And I don't think that Dupree and Amir sometimes kind of understand that. And I think that's what hurts the offense. And that's where a true point guard, you know, a pass first facilitator point guard would help this team. But they just don't have that.
Marcus, give me the scenario where Richard Pitino keeps his job.
If Mark Coyle doesn't have a candidate that he has in mind. No, I'm kidding. You know, I think that when you look at this program, you know, just like with Tubby, you know, what you want to, well, there's two things you want to see. You want to see, and you know this better than anybody, Myron, you want to see them compete in the Big Ten for a championship, okay? Are they going to, you know, compete every year, win it? No, but you want to see them at least have a chance. And when you're around 500 in the Big Ten or lower, you have no chance.
Yeah,
that hasn't happened. I think one year they had a glimpse of that, and that was it in 6 years. You also want to go to the tournament, and you want to win the NCAA tournament game. And, you know, they went to the tournament one year, lost to Middle Tennessee, talk about the seeding, whatever. But that was the only year that they made the tournament. And, you know, so I think that this year, you know, you want to see them make the tournament, but not just that. You want to see them have a chance to win an NCAA tournament game.
No.
Big Ten season is pretty much over. They're not going to compete for a title. So I think, excuse me, by making the tournament, you know, and really having a shot at winning, possibly winning a tournament game, I think that shows that this program is moving forward. If that doesn't happen, then you really have to take a serious look at the future and say, you know, do we have that chance next year? I think if Mark Coyle believes that, you know, the Gophers don't have a chance to compete for a Big Ten title and win an NCAA tournament game next year, he's going to have to take a serious look, you know, at the job and what Pitino's doing. But I think that they do have a lot of talent, young talent, and whether they win it this year or a tournament game or not, I think that they might have a chance even next year.
Richard's got to recruit better, though, right, Marcus? I mean, I think he's done okay, but I think there's definitely room for the recruiting angle to be better, right?
I think depth-wise, yes. You know, he's playing his starters, you know, 33-plus minutes a game. Amir Coffey played 40 the last two games. Clearly, he's relying so much on these starters that, you know, they, sometimes they don't have left anything left late in games. You know, you look at the depth on this team, you've got really nobody on the bench that you can rely on. And I don't know if that's necessarily high school recruiting. I don't know if that's bringing in the right transfers. They have two senior transfers, Brock Stoll and Mott Stockman, that basically combine for, if they play, you know, about 10 minutes a game, 15 minutes a game, a couple points. I mean, you just got to make a better decision when it comes to scholarships. So I think that recruiting has been decent, you know, here and there in the state of Minnesota, getting Amir Coffey, getting Daniel Tour and Gabe Kalscher and Jarvis Lamersa. But I think you have to, I think more than anything, you have to string good recruiting classes together.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's the point you're trying to make, is like, hey, you can't just, you know, hit and miss. Like, you got to string good recruiting together, and that way you don't see the drop in depth that you have on the team that he's had in a couple seasons here.
Where are they at with Eric Curry? And I mean, obviously, I think we all kind of look at this year as kind of a get back right year for him because of the injury that he had last year, and they're going to try and, you know, see if he can grow and get even better next year. But where are they at with him and how they view him now going forward?
I think he looked really good last night. I think that they probably made a mistake in trying to throw him in the fire with heavy minutes too early. He started, you know, I want to say, you know, four or five games into his, you know, the season when he first began playing in late non-conference play, and I thought that was just way too early for him to just be thrust into the starting lineup in Big Ten play, you know, going against Ethan Happ, going against, you know, some of these bigger, stronger Big Ten players without much of, you know, much legs in him. You know, I think that it forced him to really, you know, overcompensate with his other leg, and he ended up having a calf injury where he had to sit out a couple games. And, you know, I think that he does a great job coming off the bench, giving them some experience. He does some little things, you know, whether it's a tip ball here or there, defensive play, a very good passer for a big man. But you see clearly offensively is where his strength was in the past, and I think that he's just not there with his confidence, you know, with his conditioning. So I think that they did a good job last night of just limiting his minutes and, you know, having him being a role player off the bench instead of like a major contributor. And then you're going to see him from game to game being able to really help this team because he has experience. I mean, he was on the NCAA tournament team, right, in 2017 and was a valuable player off the bench. And I think he can do that again if they're going to make a run late in the season here to make the tournament.
Marcus, man, definitely thank you for your time, man. I know you're a busy man getting ready for the rest of the season.
Hey, Meyer, not as busy as you, brother.
Oh, man, I'm just trying to be like you, man. And appreciate your time.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys.
Marcus Fuller, Star Tribune, Gopher Sports. Great takes about a team that may or may not get into the NCAA tournament. We will see.
I think it's going to be really hard.
It will be really difficult, but there's a chance. We'll be back after this on Myron on Hoops.
Stand back. We don't know how big this is going to get. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf, Myron on Hoops, Manny Hill, here in the final segment. Thanks for being with us. As always, I don't say as always, but I also make sure callers, if you want to call and give your take on all things Timberwolves, 651-646-8255, 651-646-8255. There's been a lot of negativity on this show and on the hoop scene in general. And here's the deal. People who don't like it, it ain't us.
Yeah,
I mean,
look at the team.
Positivity comes from winning.
Mm-hmm.
Winning breeds positivity.
Yes.
Give us some fun things to say. We'll say them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as simple as that.
I mean, Cat's giving us fun things to talk about.
Well, and that's one of the things I want to focus on because, yes, the Timberwolves are fighting for an 8 seed. And even if they get it, I mean, what's your reward? Hooray, you get to lose to the Warriors in 4 games. The Gophers are trying to get off the bubble and get into the tournament, but if you get in there as an 11 seed, what are your chances of really advancing? But one thing that's positive is Karl Anthony Towns, and I tell you what, we are watching one of the greatest stretches that I've ever seen. I mean, we're watching a guy, a young guy, really, really showcase his full arsenal, man, his full attack. And that may be the only thing to salvage from this season. We talked about this off air, Manny, but Giannis last year had a stretch where it was sort of like, wait a minute, maybe I am that good, you know? Almost surprising himself by what he was able to do on a basketball court. And I've seen some of that with Karl Towns in the last 10 to 15 games where it's almost as if he's going, you know, hey, man, I didn't realize I could be this great. We got a caller.
Clarence in Minneapolis.
What up, Clarence?
What's up, fella?
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm just listening to you guys talk about Andrew Wiggins, and I broke up with him a long time ago.
You too? Okay. Today's my first day, man.
Well, his issue is pretty simple, you know, and I've been doing player development for a long time, just kind of analyzing players, and he's the typical kid who has topped out from a natural athletic ability standpoint. And Andrew Wiggins' problem right now is that he's not committed enough in the weight room.
Huh.
It's just that simple. So, you know, at this level, everybody's great, and you can't do the same things that you did as a freshman at Kansas and expect to still be at the top of your game. When he was a freshman at Kansas, he was still so much naturally more gifted than everybody.
Yeah.
So he could get away with not working as hard. But now, you know, fourth, fifth year in the league, if you're not in the weight room like Jordan was, that's the only reason. Well, not the only reason, but Jordan had an innate ability to just be a killer on his own. But he got better as he got physically stronger.
Yeah.
Clarence, Andrew Wiggins, go ahead.
Well, you do player development. Can you fix him? Can he be fixed?
Yeah, he can be fixed, but he needs to take, you know, about $100,000 a year at salary and devote it to somebody that's just going to do that. He don't need a basketball trainer no more. He needs to get physically more, you know, together than what he is. It's, the natural ability has worn off.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it, boys.
Clarence, I appreciate it. I think Clarence makes a great point, Manny. We hear about, I mean, Kirk Cousins read a story about, excuse me, where he invests so much in preparing his body for the game. He does sort of this psychoanalysis stuff where, you know, there's even like therapeutic instruments he uses for his brain. LeBron James, you know, and just every single thing he does is devoted toward greatness. Tom Brady, you know, devoted to being great. These are the things that these guys invest in where every element of their life, of their lives, is based on that. And to Clarence's point, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Andrew Wiggins hire someone or maybe even a team of people this offseason where strictly the idea is whatever it is he has to improve upon. I'm not smart enough to know exactly what that is. I'm not a pro basketball. I'm not Clarence or these other guys who are in the game and they've developed NBA level talent.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who's covered this sport for a long time, the window, if there is one, Manny, is just about closed.
Yeah.
For him to make something of this.
And the biggest thing for me is it goes back to what we talked about before, desire.
Yeah, man.
I mean, Clarence talked about he needs to get in the weight
invest
room.
Invest
it. Does he have the desire to do that?
Bingo.
Or is he content with just, I mean, he's got his contract.
Yep.
And it's fully guaranteed. Is he now just content with just being this
bro
as a player? And it's starting to really look like, especially since this new contract started, it's looking like that he's cool being this.
Yeah.
That this is as good as he really cares to be right now, which is not good right now. He's not a good basketball player right
now.
That's terrible. He's not good at all right now. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. I mean, we can talk about all the things that he needs to do and all the things that, you know, can help him and different systems and teammates and coaches and who can step in and fix him and help him. But it's in between his ears.
Man, he's got to get on that show.
Does he want it?
Have you seen Ayan Love Fix My Life? Have you seen that show? on OWN. Yeah, she like fixes people. And she's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking
about. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She can fix Andrew Wiggins. Like, you get on her show and you're going to be crying 10 minutes into the show. Like, you might be a tough starter, but you're going to be crying. The reality is, if people didn't care about Wiggins potentially getting to whatever the expectations, they wouldn't talk about him. People talk about him because there's a frustration.
But I do wonder if we're going to get to a point, and we might already be getting to this point now, where people just are just indifferent on him now, where they just people just don't, because I'm at a point now where I'm almost tired of talking about him. I'm going to continue to do it because it's part of my job, but
not me, brother, because I quit. We'll be back next week.